Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference. IBM looks to System Z and Cognos 8 BI for its own large-scale business intelligence deployment. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question-answer session. In this teleconference, you'll see how to use System Z and Cognos 8 BI. IBM is delivering BI as a service to its users quickly, efficiently, and cost-effectively. Please note this call is being recorded. The speakers for today's teleconference are Larry Yarder, Chief Architect for Cognos Business Intelligence Competency Center, and Rebecca Wormington, BI and PM Product Marketing. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our first speaker, Rebecca Wormington. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, and welcome. My name is Rebecca Wormington. I'm part of the Business Analytics Organization within IBM. Joining me today is Larry Yarder, the Chief Architect for IBM's own Business Intelligence Competency Center. Today, we'll be looking at IBM's large-scale BI private cloud initiative named Blue Insight. Let's go ahead and get started. Slide number two, please. This is the first of a three-part series where we will explore and learn from our experience within IBM at building out what we expect is the world's largest BI private cloud deployment. In today's session, we will cover the what, why, and how associated with Blue Insight. In June, we will join you again for a deep dive into the architecture, the challenges we have faced, the best practices we have identified, and the opportunities that have arisen as a result of Blue Insight. In November, we will be back once again to look at the actual results of choosing a BI private cloud deployment model. We hope you will be able to join us for all three sessions. Let's go ahead and get started. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, today's session will focus on the what, why, and how associated with Blue Insight. Larry will discuss the situation within IBM that drove us to consider a BI private cloud deployment model in the first place. Next, he will look at why it made financial and business sense to proceed. And finally, he will review his plan on how we plan to get there. But before we get started, let's take a brief look at what is happening within other companies such as yourselves that makes the BI private cloud deployment model a consideration for many other enterprises. Let's move on to slide four, please. The reality is the dynamics of BI are shifting. No longer is it IT and the power user's responsibility to solely leverage and disseminate BI. It is recognized that everyone can benefit from the knowledge that BI provides, from our business managers to frontline workers to our customers and suppliers. The more knowledge they have, the better that we can perform. Next slide, please. This was validated in a study conducted by Ovum in 2009, where it was confirmed that BI remains top priority for most organizations, and that despite these tough economic times, organizations recognize the strategic impact that BI can deliver to the business. Although it is recognized as strategic, these tough times do not go unnoticed, as organizations look to reduce costs and maximize the ROI by standardizing the multiple BI deployments they have across the business. Also, as strategic value is recognized, as we discussed in the last slide, organizations are looking to enable a much broader set of employees with the power that BI delivers. Finally, in an effort to maximize the value, many organizations are creating their own business intelligence competency center in an effort to ensure their ongoing success. One of the ways of addressing these trends is a cloud deployment model, as it enables the delivery of BI to a much broader audience at reduced cost while maintaining best practices. Let's take a closer look on the next slide, please. Cloud computing is available in a variety of different models, depending on your requirements, from an ownership and control perspective to a cost perspective. There is the public cloud, where software is provided on demand, and you only pay for what you use. The community cloud model, to share IP and assets. Or the managed cloud, used to leverage the value of cloud without the associated risk. And then, of course, there's the private cloud, when ownership and control are equally important to the organization. As you will see in today's discussion, BI is an ideal workload for a private cloud because although we recognized its importance, we struggle with the complexity and cost of our current BI infrastructure spread across the business. We want to maintain control due to the value BI represents to the business, but don't have a strategy to do so. And with that, I will hand it off to Larry to discuss what drove IBM to consider BI Private Cloud, why we felt it was the right choice, and how we plan to get there. Larry, over to you.
Thanks, Rebecca. So first I'd like to introduce IBM's Blue Insight. IBM is the first consumer of their Smart Analytics Cloud on its System Z, internally codenamed Blue Insight. Our business case will drive a $20 million savings over 5 years, representing approximately a 75% saving in our current BI costs. The business problems that we were trying to overcome were a proliferation of our own BI products internally within the enterprise. Organic growth of our business intelligence solutions was reversing our centralization programs and planning with our enterprise computing strategy, known to most customers outside as Project Big Green, our mainframe consolidation services. A rising cost of BI and PM delivery in conjunction with our rising demand within the enterprise. So we were looking at rising costs over the next 3 to 5 years. Lack of common BI and PM skills. We were using Hyperion, Actuate, ArcPlan. We had a smattering of most of the third-party vendors in this space. And a general lack of the BI and PM strategy within the enterprise in terms of that standardization of the tooling. Blue Insight is IBM's internal service and is being delivered as a centralized private cloud pattern. So Blue Insight will provide the definition for IBM's strategy as we move forward. With that, I'd like to take you to Chart 8. Chart 8, we're going to be looking at what did IBM have to consider for a centralized private cloud for its business intelligence delivery. So I'd like to talk on Chart 9 a little bit about how this fits into the whole notion and concepts of smarter planning. Building a smarter planet is about thinking and acting differently in the way we deliver value and doing that in an efficient, productive, and responsive way. Smarter systems, smarter services can make a material difference in the health of the global economy by starting with ubiquitous capability to understand what creates value in our society. Let me take you now to Chart 10, please. I want to talk a little bit about our historical business intelligence environment. IBM started in very familiar territory as it pertains to our BI environment. We saw segmented investments in BI tooling and infrastructure, in the sales, product teams, fulfillment, HR, each dealing with their own data problems and BI solutions separately. We found that the cost of our BI tooling played a major role in our vendor decisions. Essentially, all of the BI that one particular group or departmental area could afford. This silo approach was a breeding ground for duplicate efforts and disparate calculations for common metrics, creating more than one version of the truth. We had a lack of tooling standardization, which actually drove not only expense, but inflexibility in our staffing and our lack of common skills to be able to donate to the most important projects of the day. This top-down budget distribution that we used, in fact, by that mere process, masked the total cost of our BI. So one of the activities that we undertook was going through and really understanding our entire portfolio and where that BI investment was being made. Which leads us to our last bullet, organizational reluctance, and this is key to understand. A good portion of the community will look at centralized services and say, well, we've been there and tried that and done that before. And you'll hear that rhetoric. And it did fail. Numerous times it has failed. There's a new set of circumstances that we're looking at, new technologies, new marketplace pressures that are giving us the opportunity to relook at an old problem in a new way. And with that, can I please take you to Chart 11? IBM's business issues. So let's talk a little bit about what were some of the business drivers in the business climate. First and foremost, we need to be able to move at business speed, and that's defined as being able to react to whatever the changing priorities were for the day for the particular business unit that was delivering their business intelligence solutions. Business leaders, rightfully so, need to be able to feel in control of their information and in control of their ability to react to those business situations however they perceive them. The mere notion of a centralized BI service represents a possible threat in their ability to control and be the master of their own success within their areas. And that's something that we had to really work over and have them understand the fact that this is really delivering a service that participates in their overall solution. With a lack of a BI strategy, spending most of the time and money evaluating BI tools, we're looking at a lot of waste. Each group was going through and evaluating their tooling on an individual basis, recreating analysis that's been performed in multiple business units, and ultimately making business decisions based on affordability being one of the major factors. now I'd like to take you to page 12 and talk a little bit about some of our IT issues that we faced. So our lack of BI and analytics strategy drove independent evaluations for our BI tooling. We had no common software and hardware standards with regards to the delivery of that tooling. We had a fractured skill pool of BI talent, which really led to the fact that we were inflexible in our overall workforce management. We had high infrastructure costs. The decentralized infrastructure for hardware and software increased all of our initiative costs because they were part of every single project. Reduced the number of initiatives that could be funded. A general inefficiency in the way that we were delivering our business intelligence made it so that we had less money to work with a fixed number of transformational dollars within our budget. Our server utilization was poor, so this goes to a little bit more of the greener planet perspective. We had servers that were dedicated to particular BI implementations that may be running at 15 to 20% capacity when that excess capacity could be used for another BI solution or BI initiative within the business. We had long deployment times. There's the capital process for acquiring hardware, getting hardware and software installed, and then setting it up for operations all took time and money to set up. And our inability to share content between the distributed BI and deployments. Again, this goes to one version of the truth and having, for instance, opportunity pipeline measurements that were being done in multiple areas, coming up with different answers to the same questions. So not only duplicate efforts, but also conflicting content. And with that, I'd like to take you to chart 13. And now I'd like to look at some of the situational factors that also influenced our evaluation. First, what is everyone else doing? We looked at the marketplace, and we looked at some Gartner reports indicating that 83% of CIOs polled indicated that they were going to invest and make sure that BI was a part of their key strategic moves going forward. Our BI strategy internally was siloed with regards to our BI delivery, which increases our infrastructure costs, and that our BI solutions were also going to be server-based. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the last bullet with IBM's acquisition of Cognos. We also looked at technology maturity. We looked at the marketplace and the fact that platform as a service offerings have really come into their stride. They've really matured. And where we want to deliver a software as a service in a share-all environment, we also had to look at the software that we were looking at, whether or not that had the characteristics of multi-tenancy. And those two things coming together really made this a ripe opportunity to relook at this problem and look at a share-all environment. We could architect a service that starts with our final architecture, right? So looking at now the hardware aspects and the fact that we are a Z-frame, we are horizontally scalable, software given the capability of scaling, we really had the opportunity to architect our final solution and grow as we had tenants actually board into our service. And so now let me take you to chart 14. So we've established that IBM had challenges around our BI strategy. Now let's talk about the business case that we turn this into a transformational opportunity for the IBM business. So now on chart 15, let's look at IBM's strategic response. First, I'd like to note that the BI Cloud works hand-in-hand with the Enterprise Centralization Initiative, or maybe better known as IBM's Big Green or Greener Planet Initiative. If you've embarked on this effort within your business, the workload evaluations for application homogeneity can be leveraged to identify the BI applications that can be centralized and standardized into a common environment. The attributes of our services are simple. It's a defined service with clear demarcations of the service, common well-defined boarding process making it clear what our tenants are responsible for, delivery of a common development, test, and production environment, and operational support to satisfy their non-functional requirements. The service needs to be reactive to what the user wants and how they wish to behave. We need an environment that exists in nature and can accommodate increases in the number of tenants and changes to the tenants' usage patterns. The service that we deliver needs to be reliable and needs to be low cost, enabling ubiquitous access to BI tooling and expanding our usage and penetration within the business and reducing the time to value. Enabling sharing of skills and BI collateral, reducing the cost of duplication, avoiding multiple versions of the truth, and increasing our workforce flexibility were key. Socialization of the change to the centralized service is absolutely critical. Producing a service that takes none of the creativity and self-motivation away from the tenants is really paramount to making a program like this successful within your enterprise. And with that, I'd like you to take you to chart 16. What exactly is Blue Insight? Well, Blue Insight is a transformational technology delivery method matched with a process and a solution model that effectively changes the way we deliver business intelligence within IBM. It's an appliance-like delivery service for business intelligence. It's the hardware and the software set up for you. It's the operational support. It's the Cognos VA licensing and level 3 support for any Cognos PMRs that are required to be tracked and handled. It's a common service. The boarding process is fixed. The service is defined. The BI tooling has a scope of reports, ad hoc, cubing, pervasive capabilities. All of those services are defined and clearly noted to tenants so that they know what they're buying. It's a defined standard for security and LDAP management, and it's also a common set of operational processes so that the tenants know how to engage for any operational support that they need. And it's business intelligence experts. They're here to help you assist in the process of boarding, to tell you what those demarcations are between that service, to know how you can integrate this service with your solution. I'll probably repeat this at least one more time during this presentation. It's absolutely critical that tenants understand what you're delivering. You're not taking any autonomy away from their solutions. They still own the responsibility of their solutions. And what we're delivering is a service to help enable those solutions. And with that, let me take us to chart 17. Talking a little bit about Blue Insight scope. So who inside of IBM is really using it, and is this real? Within Blue Insight today, our current adopted community, you'll see our commissions teams, sales management, sales operations teams, supply chain, finance, our brands and unit reporting are being done using Blue Insight, and our channel reporting. So whether it's direct, business partners, our field sales teams, they're all using Blue Insight. The key message here is that the service is really business domain agnostic. We don't care who uses our service or even what value that they're actually deriving from the service. That's really their creativity of using our service to create value for the business. Let's talk about how many users. So we did use a Field of Dreams or a Build It and They Will Come kind of approach because we had the ability to start with an architecture that was going to be extensible. Our 2009 objective was 55,000 users boarded by the end of the year. We actually overachieved on that and boarded 72,000 users. So that the Dreams approach really does work. Our projections for 2010-2011 is 120K mean for 2010, which we're on a course and speed to exceed again this year already based on our projections and our pipeline. And for 2011 to be pretty much in our steady state situation of 200,000 plus users using the service. And with that, let me take us to chart 18. Now let's talk about everybody's favorite business driver, cost savings. So this is the business case that was put together for this program. And I'm going to talk about three different aspects of cloud, right? Virtualization, standardization, and automation. And the resulting reduced cost to the IBM internal business. So let's look at virtualization first. It's on a Z10 infrastructure. We have shared peripheral infrastructure using shared middleware and a shared Cognos V8 installation. Again, it's important to pick out that word shared because this is a share-all environment, which is really where the portion of our software savings come in. So you'll see that a 60% chunk of that $25 million savings that's projected over 5 years. Now, if we look down in the standardization realm, we have a common service definition, a common security model, so that's basically defining what's called the minimum to play for the service. We have a common promotion process, which is communicated to the tenants so that they know how and when, and they control when to move from a development to a test and test to a production environment, and a common operations process. So that common centralized service is being delivered by a worldwide 24/7 team. And that's a 35% of that overall $25 million savings. And now let's talk a little bit about automation. What we've included with the Blue Insight service is a Web 2.0 boarding application, and that's really there to help us manage the tenants as they board to let them self-describe themselves. And we've identified the unique attributes of each one of those tenants that is going to be meaningful to us as part of the process to board them to make sure that we're delivering based on their expectations. So it's a management tool around the number of tenants that have boarded and what their characteristics are, at which point we choreograph the process behind the scenes in what we call the Business Intelligence Center of Competence, which is the team that handles the boarding. And we choreograph that through our process to get them to the point where they've told us who they are, what they want from a functional and non-functional perspective, to the point where we actually introduce them into our production environment. And now let's talk a little bit about next bullet as predictive planning. You'll notice that that's in a future focus. Right now, what we're looking to do is to take the information that's collected during the boarding process and to evaluate that based on the general health of our Cognos installation and our hardware infrastructure, and to use probe technology and some rules to determine, based on my pipeline, when can I expect that I'm going to have to increase or expand horizontally the environment that I've got to accommodate those tenants without impacting the rest of the environment. So we're now integrating in that predictive analytics to be able to look at our pipeline and determine when do we need to forecast upgrades to our current implementation so that we can accommodate those tenants seamlessly without any impact in terms of response time to any of our boarded community. Also looking to automate the provisioning. So once I decide, I know that the fifth tenant that I have in my pipeline is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I'm going to need to add memory, or I'm going to have to add CPs to my environment to be able to accommodate them. At that point, we're also going to be integrating in the ability for us to automate the provisioning of that so that those are now turned on within the Z environment in an automated fashion. Currently, now if we jump down to the bottom, which today, just simply the administration provides a 5% advantage to us in terms of that $25 million savings. We see that number going up because, frankly, part of that 60% in the virtualization and our consolidation efforts will slide over to the automation and basically save us more money and make it a little bit more effective and hopefully quite a bit more effective in really driving down the cost of being able to maintain the Business Intelligence Center of Competence team that's delivering that value statement and automate that component. So with that, let me take us to chart 19. These are some of the value statements and soft statements. These are the things that are a little bit harder to quantify in what we think we'll see as part of this overall program. First, by controlling our BI infrastructure and service deployments, we're going to avoid additional or further siloed investments. Our projection based on the size of our community within IBM was that 35 to 50 new installations of business intelligence would spring up based on the number of users that we have within our business. We have the ability to achieve common governance. By delivering a service with common demarcations, it also helps us define where we can inject standardization and governance points. So things like, are we using trusted data sources? Are we reusing common models and common report definitions? Any legal mandatory process certifications that are required also helps us to achieve that. A centralized service and a common skill delivery for BI solutions matched with the metadata process also allows heavy reuse projections for the future. Again, very difficult to quantify exactly what we'll see from that, but the expectation is that it could very well be significant. And last, the expanded use of BI. As we're driving down the cost and making this service more ubiquitous, we are starting to pick up communities that have never even thought about delivering using business information tooling because there's no way that their group could possibly afford that within their budgets. So we're really now starting to push down the center of gravity of innovation within the business. As new communities have the access to these tools, they now have the ability to think with those tools and really look at what's possible within their business to generate value. With that, I'd like to take us to chart 20, please. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the activities around the execution plan and what some of our strategic direction is in the future. This is the kind of are we done yet kind of a statement. So let's move on to chart 21 and look at IBM's execution plan. Now, this is done in broad strokes, but this was done over approximately a six-month duration. So some of the activities that need to occur, and almost first and foremost, is the creation of an executive sponsor. This is the person that's going to help define the scope, identify the key stakeholders, make sure that they've got buy-in or at least communicating what the direction is to those key stakeholders, and make sure that those objectives are well-defined. Building of the business case. We don't do anything unless it's going to save us money and generate value for the business or have the opportunity to generate value for the capture your current infrastructure, your current operations and development costs around delivering BI solutions within your area. You want to look at any projected new investments that are going to occur. So in that particular calendar year, you know what your current costs are, and you know what your portfolio of projected investments are. And then you want to be able to project out both a hard savings and then some of those fluffier, softer savings as it pertains to both your hardware, software, and personnel costs. You want to build your centralized environment. One of the easiest things to kill a program like this is not being real. So you want to start with a scope that you can afford, and again, starting with your final architecture, have the ability to actually grow based on your investment strategy. But you have to start with something that's real, so it's critical that you actually build that environment based on the low-hanging fruit that you've identified in those first couple of activities. Then you want to establish a boarding process. And that boarding process has to crisply define the service based on the way your users behave. So it's absolutely critical to understand the predilections of the teams that would be boarding and take those tenants and some of those business scenarios that we went through before that are absolutely critical. Understand how to define what the roles are within the Business Intelligence Center of Competence. Understand the rules around content promotion. Understand what your documents of understandings mean and what roles are clearly part of the tenant's responsibilities and what is part of your Business Intelligence Center of Competence roles. Establish communications plans. You can't over-communicate what your intentions are, and listen, gain feedback, understand, again, from staying the boarding process. You're going to change your boarding process. Each enterprise is going to be just a little bit different in terms of how you have to fashion that service so that you're hitting the 80-20 rule and satisfying pretty much 80% of the tenant's requirements out of the standard solution. And establish education plans for doctors. Help people help themselves. Help your adopters. Give them the tools that they need, the programs defined, whether it be online education, classroom education, experts within your area that are helping to evaluate their solutions, giving them the idea of where the demarcations of your service are and where their solution starts and ends and how to use your service are all critical to the success of the overall program. And with that, let me take us to page 22 and talk about some of our transformation and deployment plans for Blue Insight. So this is the kind of are we done yet kind of view of what we've already accomplished and what we're looking to accomplish in the future. So you see on the left-hand side where we've started off is simplification and standardization. We're consolidating our efforts. We've established, you know, our key leaders and gone through everything that we've just gone through on page 21 in terms of creating the program and defining the initiative. Now we want to continue to listen and understand what else can we make part of that common shared service to hit that 80-20 rule. Are there things that we've left out of the initial offering? We'll continue to refine those thoughts. We're also looking to expand out into the full scope of information management delivery where we have other areas we can attack. For instance, data preparation. Because if we look at the life cycle from transactional systems to the point where I actually put it on the glass to a portal, we're taking a thin slice of that service and saying, this is what we've dealt with now with Blue Insight. Now, we can take that same program and that same process and now apply it to standardization of our transformation, extract, transform, and load tools. We can come up with standardized portal services. So we are definitely looking at expanding this program into those areas. And then the automation. Integrate what we've already got now with the boarding process administration and really grow that. And we spoke a little bit about that on the previous chart, where we're looking to now automate in a predictive fashion when are we going to be in trouble and to make that more programmatic so that we're doing less manual evaluation of tenants and understanding their level of sophistication and what their functional and non-functional needs are. So to get some of that into a more automated fashion. And then last but not least, certainly the auto provisioning so that, you know, as we detect that we are possibly going to reach an out-of-bounds condition with regards to a particular tenant we're boarding, now I have the opportunity to proactively increase and automate the provisioning of more memory, more DASD, and more CPs as is necessary. So with that, let me take you to chart 23 and talk about a summary of some of the lessons learned to date. It's absolutely critical that you have an executive sponsor with the political collateral to really establish the strategy within the enterprise, because it is a game-changing play. It's important to socialize with the key stakeholders, and you should do it early, and you should do it often, and establish a series of meetings that the executive sponsor is really having with those key stakeholders to talk about the strategy and to understand from those stakeholders what is it from their area that is going to establish the service as being successful for their area. We want to make it clear that this is a common service and that that common service does not take away key personnel and solution autonomy for each one of the units that we're expecting to be tenants to this common service. Again, define your service and ensure your IT team sticks to that scope. If you start to slip, which is very easy for IT teams to do, if you start to slip into solution delivery, you start to be a place where the tenant can then point their finger at you for their failures of their solution. And that's not a position that you want to be in. You want to stick to those demarcation points and realize that you're participating in their solution and in their success and in their value statement. Make it clear to adopters what the boarding process is. There should be no guesswork as to what is that minimum to play for a tenant that wants to board onto your process. It should be very crisply defined. Make it clear what the service levels are that are available. If you're defining a common service and a particular unit comes in with a non-functional requirement for a service level that's out of bounds, they have to understand that that is not standard and it is going to be some kind of a net add to your overall operational billing. Focus on operational excellence. One thing with a program like this is just one slip up and there's already going to be a seed in everyone's mind that says they're waiting for you to fail, and you have to produce operational excellence in delivering a service like this or you'll end up being that person that they point at as to why we're not achieving business value and our business objectives. Cost reduction is achievable. It's just that simple. This has been very beneficial to IBM from a cost perspective. Reduce time to value. And this is harder to put a value statement on, but having a new initiative or the newest problem of the day, being able to have a two-week turnaround time to be able to address versus a two-month capital process to get a BI environment up and running before you can even start to answer the question is extremely valuable. And the fact that this BI service delivery model that we've put in place is repeatable for other common services, and there's a full intention for IBM to expand the role of this pattern as we move forward in 2010 and into 2011. And with that, I would like to now turn it back over to Rebecca, and thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Larry. That definitely gives us some good food for thought, as well as gives us a good understanding of the scope, complexity, and value associated with Blue Insight. I'm sure many of you find yourselves considering your own BI infrastructure as you've listened to Larry today, and are looking at the similarities within your infrastructure to IBM's infrastructure, and may be interested in exploring how you two can get some of this benefit. So with that, let's move on to slide 24. At IBM, we expect that we're not alone with our BI challenges and that many of you are in similar situations and could really benefit from embarking on a similar path to Larry and IBM. To assist our customers in that journey, we've taken what we have learned with Blue Insight and packaged it up for your convenience as the Smart Analytics Cloud offering. At the foundation of Smart Analytics Cloud is Cognos API for Linux on System Z, combined with some key middleware components and services to help you design and deploy a BI private cloud within your own organization quickly and efficiently. Let's move on to slide 25. As I mentioned, the foundations of the Smart Analytics Cloud is built upon Cognos API for Linux on System Z, where we combine the power of Cognos API to deliver BI to all your users when and how they need it, with the power of System Z to simplify the maintenance and management of your BI infrastructure. Let's take a little bit of a closer look at that on slide 26. So as I mentioned, Cognos API for Linux on System Z is the foundation to Smart Analytics Cloud. So with Cognos API, we're able to deliver all users across your organization with the information they need to do their job. From the reporting, where we can show what's actually happening within the business, to analysis, where we can understand why it happened, to dashboards for bringing all that key information together in a consolidated view, as well as a broad range of options for the different users within your organization for actually accessing and incorporating that business intelligence into their daily lives, such as web access models to mobile access so we can use or access our BI even while we're away from our desk, to enhance search capabilities, as well as Microsoft Office integration so we can use it where and when and what we work with. The second part, of course, of this equation is Systemz itself and how it can simplify your BI infrastructure. So let's go ahead and take a quick look at that as well. By leveraging Systemz for your BI infrastructure, you're choosing to simplify your maintenance and management. Systemz provides savings in the hardware, software, operating, people costs, as you don't need or have as many boxes that would be required to manage or meet your BI objectives. By providing a faster time to value for your BI investment, as you can get it up and running and grow it easier and quicker with Systemz. By leveraging industry-leading capabilities of Systemz that all cutting-edge BI deployments require, such as scalability, reliability, availability, and security. And finally, last but not least, by providing simplified and faster access to leverage that key transactional data that Systemz is so often utilized to capture and store. So Cognos API for Linux on Systemz is the foundation of your BI private cloud deployment. And with that, I'd like to take you to slide number 28. So thank you very much for joining us today for our discussion on IBM's large-scale BI private cloud deployment, Blue Insight. And we hope you've been able to learn from our experiences so far, as well as we hope you'll be able to join us for session 2 in June, where we will discuss Blue Insight's architecture, our challenges, our best practices that we've identified from living through this, and what new doors have opened as a result of embarking on this journey. And with that, I would like to pass it back to our moderator to open it up for questions.
Thank you, Rebecca and Larry. Now I'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all the options before making your selection. Question 1, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. Are you struggling with managing the rising costs associated with the management and maintenance of your enterprise BI infrastructure? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 4. Do your business users want faster access to the transactional data on Systemz while IT wants a simpler way of delivering it? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 5. Is growing your BI infrastructure requiring that the business consider the requirements for delivering a more scalable, reliable, available, and highly secure BI infrastructure? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And question 6. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, I'll turn the call over to our speakers while we wait for questions. And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it is star 1 to ask a question at this time. And we'll take our first question from Anita Nolan with Miami-Dade County.
Hi there. I'm a systems programmer, so the overview was interesting, but I don't really understand the implementation. We're currently running Cognos on the System Z under ZVM. We have approximately 4 Linux guest machines. This service, this Big Blue service, this is obviously something, because of course we don't have any money. We're on the System Z because we have no money and we had idle IFLs. So how does this service work into an environment financially?
Okay, so Rebecca, if you don't mind, I'll take that one. So for the IBM internal account, we are working on what we would consider to be a zero uplift model. We're a service to the IBM internal account. We're not looking to make money. So frankly, that's been the format that we've used internally, is we're providing a software as a service on top of really platform as a service. So in your environment, you've got existing IFLs that you're trying to leverage and use.
Correct.
So that's a sunk cost for you. So now it's a matter of how many communities can you actually service with those, with that capacity that you've got and the method that you're using to do that. So if you could talk a little bit more about your environment, do you have more than one, what we would call either a tenant or an adopter? So different areas that are, you know, have that have reporting needs that are from different areas?
Yes. I don't know if anyone else from Dade County is on here. Again, I'm the systems programmer. I can tell you how many IFLs we have and good stuff like that. But we have more than one application coming on board, and actually a rather important implementation of financial data within the next few months.
Okay, so assumably you're going to have different security profiling for each of the reporting areas that you're currently supporting. Do you currently have that so that it's a share all environment, or are you spinning up different guests for each one of those tenants as you're bringing them in?
Well, we're using the same machines. It's a shared environment, and we have multiple guests based on, like a sandbox, a production machine. We'll soon be putting up a machine in the DMZ for web access. So, yes, it's a shared environment, although we're spawning more and more guests due to need.
So where I think there's an economy for you would be in the spinning up of the other virtual guests, right? Currently, the implementation within IBM, so what's fundamentally different in the way that you're approaching it is that you're using more of an Amazon kind of EC2 model, where each guest is considered to be a completely separate entity unto itself. We're actually in a share-all environment where we're using the same WAS instances, we're using the same Cognos instances, and we're using the same DB2 instances.
We tried to utilize. We had some IBM young people in here, each one an expert in their own field, and we brought up a shared WAS server, and then because the WAS install was also included the Java install, and then Java needed to run locally for Cognos, so the shared WAS server was scratched. So that's why I'm very interested in how you people get involved in an account, because you sound like the technical business process that we seem to be missing. Another thing is scaling. You know, on the IFLs, it's very difficult. We're porting some applications over from Unix. The numbers don't jive in any way, the way you allocate memory and things like that in the Unix environment versus the System Z, of which we have two Z10s.
Okay. Well, right off the bat, I think they identified probably the major difference. They were young and I'm not.
Yes, I like this. So, I mean, this, we've gotten a lot of help from IBM, okay? We wouldn't be off the ground without their input. But,
what would need to be done is to maybe just take a different lens and look through what we've done for the IBM internal account. Again, it's fairly new. And our success in our IBM internal account probably hasn't gotten out completely to the field yet in terms of the way that we've actually implemented it. So I would say that it's probably worth revisiting, but I think you definitely do have opportunity to be in a share-all environment. I will not say that some of your tenants that you need to board, for instance, maybe with regards to finance or certain areas of your business that are highly confidential may not warrant a separate guest and a separate instance of guidance, but still maintaining the same operational support is still the savings. But so I won't say that you can necessarily that one instance is the exact answer, especially if you have both internally facing audiences and externally facing audiences.
Right. Yeah. That's just what it is. Yeah.
One may not be the answer for you, but one for each is probably not the answer for you either.
Like I said, we tried to bring up the shared WAS, which sounded really good, and then the Java would not work, and then it was decided that go back to the individual WAS, which compared to a share WAS is just labor-intensive.
Okay. Like I said, I think it's worth re-looking at.
Okay, so let me understand this. Again, I'm a tech person. Your services are called Blue?
Internally, it was codenamed Blue Insight. It is part of the Smart Analytics Cloud offering. So if you wanted to reference your client team to material that's relevant to what we've done internally, it would be through the Smart Analytics Cloud.
Yeah.
Is that right, Rebecca?
Absolutely. So within IBM, we identified a requirement, identified that there was a more efficient way that we could be delivering BI to such a mass amount of people, and that was in a private cloud model. So internally we created Blue Insight, and then what we've done is we've taken from that learnings and experience, and we recently, back in November, introduced an offering called the IBM Smart Analytics Cloud. So the Smart Analytics Cloud really is built upon what you have now as the foundation, so Cognos on Z, but really provides you with the wherewithal to expand it to a full private cloud deployment model. So, for example, provide an easier onboarding type application, provide bill back type capabilities, full system management, that kind of thing. So it really takes it from a standardization, centralization enterprise story into the value associated with a BI private cloud. And just to clarify, the intention of this session was to provide yourselves with kind of an overview and a bit of the reasoning behind where we are today. Within the next section, we do expect to do more of a deep dive into the actual architecture itself and take a closer look at how we've actually built it out, is what are the best practices that we've learned and kind of next steps and stuff like that. So it sounds to me as though that session would probably definitely help answer a lot of your questions. Now, in the meantime, I actually have had conversations with Miami-Dade as well, so if you'd like to take this offline, we can have a conversation and get some people involved to try and help you out.
Okay, all right, that'd be fine. We don't have to tie everybody in the world up who's on this call. That would be good. I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, it is star one to ask a question at this time. And at this time, it appears we have no further questions in our queue. I'll turn it back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Larry, do you have anything you'd like to say today?
No, just thank you very much for having the opportunity to speak to you all today. Thank you.
Absolutely. And again, any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We'd be happy to help you, and hopefully you can join us for part two of this in June 2010. Thank you very much.
And that does conclude our conference. Thank you for your participation.